CIUT. This is CIUT 89.5 FM, the University of Toronto Community Radio Station. Available across Canada on Star Choice National Satellite Service, Channel 826, and broadcasting worldwide at www.ciut.fm.
Love that track. That is Blue Room, and great little track there, and it's from an album by the Blue Room. They are a Toronto-based blues rock group, and actually they just performed three nights in a row, I believe, at the Toronto Beaches Jazz Festival, in the Beaches, or actually where I live, so I had no choice but to wake up, and I wake up late, by the way, and hear them. Every year, it seems like, and we've got in the studio, welcome to Hal again, poet, writer, lawyer, and friend, Paul Sanderson. Paul, good to have you back.
Great to be here, Nick.
Hello, did you love this guy's voice? Better than mine for radio.
You said that before, but...
I know, but it's still true.
You're the guy
true.
Doing it.
That's true. Paul is also lead guitarist in the band that I just mentioned. Paul, what's the name of that track, by the way?
That's called Moanin' and Groanin'.
And who is the lead singer of the band?
Brian Neller.
And where can people get the album if they want to purchase it?
They can get it through Indiepool or CD Baby or at any one of our numerous live performances off the stage.
Okay. And you just had a live performance, as I mentioned, at the Beaches Jazz Festival. I'm just going to want to ask one question about that, and then we're going to get to Paul's new book, The Golden Thumb Macarena, which is the controversy about it, which is that it's called the Jazz Festival and there isn't a lot of jazz at it. That's been a comment that a lot of people have made over the years. What's your take on that?
Well, I think the whole concept of jazz festivals have completely expanded musically. I mean, it's the same thing in Montreux. I mean, some of the biggest acts there aren't jazz either, but I think the concept of the jazz festival per se is a much more all-encompassing of music. You're right, in the technical sense of jazz, of being improvised music, it's not pure jazz by any means. But there's a wide variety of bands that improvise, and the band next to us was pretty improvisational, and we improvise a lot when we do our tunes, so that's kind of jazz.
Yeah, and of course jazz comes out of the blues, obviously.
Oh yes, very much so, yeah. We're definitely blues-based, for sure.
Now you've got a new book, a book of poetry, Golden Thumb and Acarima, which is backwards for, as you just told me during the break, America. Why that title? What is this supposed to indicate? Is there a metaphorical concept behind this title? Anything mysterious?
No, it's pretty literal. There are two long poems.
Acarima isn't literal.
Well, yeah.
I wouldn't have known that was America.
Well, but the titles are.
Okay.
The Golden Thumb refers to a summer spent hitchhiking with myself and four friends. So it's very much a road poem in a prose manner. And Acarima is... much more contemplative, more political about America and the state of America, obviously seen from a Canadian viewpoint.
Now, you've got a line, and actually it's in the first poem, the Golden Thumb, the cultural impact and sensibilities of the late 60s have not yet ended. There's a lot of people, particularly right-wing people, I guess you could put it, that would wish it had ended long ago.
Some wish it never started.
Some wish it had never started. I mean,
well, it took a long time to fade, because I think that was one of the most important social phenomena and impact that we've had in recent in history, and it has faded. There's no question, but it took many decades, I think, after the 60s to really absorb what happened and move on. And some of the things we've really greatly benefited from, I think the whole green movement is really just a morphing of 60s sensibility. The whole sense of, free love with liberated sexuality, that's morphed into mainstream society too, with things like gay rights that have been more mainstream embraced. The list goes on and on. So they may wish it to have never happened, but you can't go back. The Pandora's box is open.
It's true.
And many other impacts, too, that we've had. And, you know, some of them good, some of them not so good, but I think most of them good. It was a very liberating time for many people. I mean, the underlying theme of the 60s, I think, was freedom. And there was a very, very strong anti-war movement that fueled a lot of these sensibilities and the demonstrations, too, particularly in the States with the Vietnam War. So that was very much part of it. And, yeah, it reverberated quite a long time after that, well into the 70s, probably even into the 80s. But I guess I'm eccentric towards that, too, because being a kind of the later cohort of the baby boom, that's the way I see the world, too. So that's the way I've experienced it. So other people with, you know, generations that are now coming up see it less so, but that's the way I see it, so...
This is Nick Beat. We're talking to poet, author, Paul Sanderson, and hope you're enjoying the show. Earlier in the first half, we were talking to Barbara Camp, who's an American author on The Seventh Day God Rest, and we're just talking about her new book a little bit.
I had to jump in there, Nick. I mean, there's a bit of a thread going through here because Barbara had mentioned she was of that era, too, and a boomer. And some of the things she was mentioning, obviously the religious part of it, but she did mention some of the 60s and some of those things had informed her consciousness too, for sure. You can hear that in the way she was speaking.
Definitely, and she wasn't shy about bringing that up.
No.
I really admire her courage too. And she's brilliant in the way she's linked different events that you normally wouldn't think would be linked to the New Testament,
yeah.
some of the articles that she was just describing. We're talking to Paul Sanderson. Hope you're enjoying the show. And it's about 21 minutes to 11. The show is never long enough. That's the only problem I have with this, is that we never have enough time. But why don't we listen to Paul's, some selections for Paul's book. Paul, what are you going to read for us first?
Okay, let me read the introductions to both of them so it kind of give you some idea where each of these poems are going. This one's from The Golden Thumb, and this is stanza one. It's a fairly long prose poem. I guess it goes on for about, I don't know, 20 pages or so. 1974. Fresh out of high school in 1974, John, Jim, Phil, and I, four long-haired friends from Canada, hitchhiked through the southern states. It was a time of free love and free rides. The cultural impact and sensibilities of the late 1960s had not yet ended. Then it was about freedom and self-revelation. We had the expectation that the future would be ours, that we would avoid the traps that ensnared our parents' generation, that we would be different, kinder, more loving, more peaceful, that we would be less materialistic and more creative and self-realized. We had a sense of hope that utopia could be achieved, that we would live it in our lifetime. But these dreams shattered like a glittering disco ball falling to the dance floor as the late 1960s crashed into the 1970s. We didn't know it then, but this was our last dance. So that's stanza one from The Golden Thumb. The Golden Thumb is obviously stands for the value you get out of hitchhiking.
Okay.
I'd always wanted to write a movie, but I figured, well, I might as well get it down before I forget it, because that's a long time ago, and it was written pretty recently, so it's written from memory. It was not written, I didn't keep a diary or anything like that. So I really wanted to tell the story before I forgot it, really for so they could have my son know what my background was and what it was like when I was growing up.
It's Nick B. We're talking to Paul Sanderson on CIUT 89.5 FM and on the internet at www.ciut.fm. You can get us all over the planet at that actual internet line, and we have listeners all over the world, if not the universe. Paul, you dedicated this book to Jesse, your son, whom you said during the break is
yes.
Now 13. Why to him?
Well, I think it's some of these things, you know, 1974, I think it was all of about 19, and it's about growing up, and I think he should know my background, and I'd rather have him find out from me than from someone else. Not that there's a big deal. I mean, this story isn't particularly unique, I don't think. I mean, I guess not everyone hitchhiked through the States when they were 19, but lots of people did hitchhike during that time, and it's very much part of the times, how you might get around, you know, share the wealth and get out there and stick your thumb out and see where it leads you.
Were you inspired by Kerouac's On the Road, or no?
Well, that's a good point. No, not really. We, as I mentioned in the book, we were more inspired by Easy Rider.
Oh, I love that film.
Yeah, the Dennis Hopper film and Peter Fonda, and of course the soundtrack. We virtually lived that, or it seemed like it, and that's why we went down to New Orleans, and that's where the poem leads you. And it, I think New Orleans is a very coming-of-age type of city, too. It's very free. It's very liberal. It's very different if you're coming from Canada, especially if you're going in January. It's quite warm, and Canada is very, it was like 0 degrees Fahrenheit when we left. So it's a whole other world down there, and I think that was what why it was important and opened those doors in your mind.
Can I ask you just a tiny question, just about that you're also an entertainment lawyer. Did this, the 60s and its the baggage that came along with it, did that steer you into that field of endeavor, or no? Would you have gone into it anyway?
Well, I think I went into it, quite frankly, by default.
Really?
Oh, sure. I mean, my main interest at that time was to be a guitar player, which I still do, but I do it part-time. And interesting enough, the Golden Thumb, there was an incident there where we ended up spending a night in jail in Texas that spurred a bit of the idea of the legal side and how you can experience, just by being a victim of circumstance, certain injustices. So that I started to link those two ideas of law and music, which are really quite disparate, but both very demanding disciplines. But and then later on, working for a law firm as a messenger, making that extra leap to say maybe I should be doing this as a living, and then the music is you know, more not having to make money from it.
Okay. Now, the music business is not exactly known for its honesty in dealings overall. Mm-hmm. I mean, let's face it, it doesn't have that great a reputation. Maybe now it does, but I mean, over the many years it hasn't. It just seems like litigation city. But I don't know where I'm going with this. Where am I going with this?
I know where I went with it, though.
No, okay.
Yeah, I hear you. That's a stereotype, but I'm not so sure.
That's a stereotype, yeah.
Yeah, I'm not so sure it's any worse, just maybe more in the public. I'm not so sure it's any worse than any other business.
Okay.
But I don't know any other business, so I'm only conjecturing.
You're a particularly honest guy in it. Like that's you have that. Let's face it, you've got that reputation.
Yes.
Honesty, forthrightness, all the other things.
Well, that was one of my goals in life, too. I said, well, it doesn't have to be that way. So I would like to try and change that, turn that stereotype around.
Okay.
So I've been trying to live that, and that's one of my aims, too.
Okay.
But, yeah, it's definitely a stereotype. Ran into my fair share of bad lawyer jokes, but...
Well, we've been telling jokes on the show. I mean, I told a real bad one earlier. You don't
they're
have
all,
any lawyer jokes?
I'm not very good at telling jokes. No, okay. I like the Shakespeare one the best, I think.
Which was that?
What do you call 500 lawyers at the bottom of the sea?
I don't know.
A good start.
Who said that?
Well, Shakespeare said, "Kill all the lawyers." Right. That's the joke.
Oh, I see.
All right. So
the first person
that's the punchline.
The first person that warned against lawyers was actually Jesus. I'll never forget reading that. All of a sudden, he's got a bee in his bonnet about lawyers,
or
whatever.
I think you have to be careful what's in the Bible. I've been reading the Bible recently too, and man, I mean, Barbara was right. Talk about violence. Whoa. Yeah, it's real life there. So,
Paul, you actually brought your guitar.
I did.
Do you have something live you wanted to play before we get back to the poetry?
Yeah, sure. Well, not you mentioned Kerouac. I got a song that has that in the first line.
Oh, cool.
A blues tune.
That's a nice symmetry to the whole. This is Nick Beat. We're just getting ready to listen to Paul Sanderson play a bit of live guitar and stuff in the studio. Our studio, of course, has moved to Hart House, third floor, and we're so happy that we are here. And here is Paul Sanderson on CIUT's Howl. ¶¶
I got books by Kerouac I've never read. A thousand places to go before I'm dead. I'm looking for pennies, I pick them up every day. I'm open for good luck. Well, no one said it'd be easy. Who knew it'd be so hard? I'm scratching around like a dog for a bone that's lost in the yard. Well, it used to be so fine. We were laughing all the time. When it comes to love and money, where do you draw the line? Oh, whoa, whoa, I'm so alone. Whoa, 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 like a stone that rolls. Well, I keep on trying to find my way home. Well, she threw me in the water. I said I can't swim. She knocked me out, said you can't come in. I climbed the tower, love, the dizzying heights, and then we hit rock bottom after fighting all night. Whoa, whoa, I'm so alone. Whoa, 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 like a stone that rolls. Well, I keep on trying to find my way home. Well, deal me out or deal me in. I got a feeling I can't win. Oh, Lord, I'm gonna play, I'm gonna take a spin. I got the sinking feeling again. Whoa, 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 I'm so alone. Whoa, 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 like a stone that rolls. Well, I keep on trying to find. There's no way I can find. Well, I keep on trying to find my way home.
Thank you, Paul Sanderson. That's a nice little blues number. That's Paul Sanderson live in the studio at CIUT. And I hope you're enjoying the show. It's Howl, which is, of course, spoken word, but also we showcase music, mostly Canadian music, in our airplay, and sometimes live in the studio. And this is Paul Sanderson, who's also got a new book out called The Golden Thumb of Nakarima. Paul, how do people get your book again? How did they get it?
Just through me. It's actually self-published. I do have a personal website, paulsanderson.ca.
Okay, and how much is it if people want to buy it?
$5.
That's $5?
$5.
That's a very reasonable price. Yes, this is Nick Beat, and I hope you're enjoying the show. It's about 9 minutes to 11. It's July 27, and 2010, very hot summer, but you know, whatever. I'm not going to complain about that. Cause
no, it's been, you know, we've actually had a summer this year. Last year, we didn't have much.
No.
No?
That was strange.
It's been gloriously hot.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. And good weather mostly for the beaches.
Jasper's. Sure.
Where is the Blue Room playing next, by the way?
We're doing a cruise. We've been doing that annually for the last 7, 8, 9 years maybe, aboard the Empire Sandy. If you want to join us, it's a great night. It's fun. You can find out more about it through a website called Nautical Adventure. I think it's nauticaladventure.com, and it's on Friday, August 6th. And if you book through the band, you get the band discount, which is a good deal. And you get usually get a roast beef buffet and a dessert buffet and a DJ and, of course, the band. It's and the cruise, all outside the on the lake, and on a good night, it's beautiful. They sail out of Lower Spadina and Queens Key, and the Empress Sandy is the largest tall ship sailing in Canada. It's actually a converted barge, so it's very, very stable and with large cement floors on it. So,
wow.
You don't have to worry too much about being seasick on the lake.
Wow, that's always a nice thing, especially after dinner and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Stay above board and look at the horizon. That's my advice.
That's the best idea.
Don't go down into the downstairs. Yeah.
No.
You're more apt to be a little queasy.
We're talking to Paul Sanderson. Hope you're enjoying the show. Paul, as I said, is a poet, and we're going to hear some more poetry. Paul, what else did you want to read for us?
Yeah, I'm going to read just the opening to Acarema. Fast cars, Silicon Valley, smog-drenched L.A. Harlem's ghettos, Route 66, ghostly remains. Manhattan's shards of steel and glass. Sounds of night, sirens, taxis, passers-by, trucks rolling down the highway, endless streams of traffic. Everything whispers America. Women drive on highways to shopping centers, in parking lots, then home, alone. Old men stop traffic and beg at the side of the road. Street people on a cold winter night sleep on hot air grates before a snowstorm. Bitter faces of the terminally hungry, forgotten junk condoms, back alley haze, discarded whiskey bottles, drunks in a daze. In the bars they talk of money, sex workers, drugs, violence. Everyone loves a rebel, punching with bad intent. Power is action. Everyone wants a piece of the action. Everyone wants instant satisfaction. Everyone has a price. We're all whores in your whore house. Everything cries America. The assembly line culture of the car, the power of the Hollywood movie star, red, white, and blue. These God-given constitutional rights, the right to carry a gun, the right to know, freedom of speech, or self-evident. Some things are worth dying for. It seems that you can't buy the things you need. There's no time to think or dream or heal or slow down. Your pocket full of pills can't cure all these ills. I believe in progress. What happened to mom and apple pie? What happened to Midwest farmers, their sons and their daughters? What happened to the thin white line of your two-lane blacktop that carries the genes of your generation past? America, where have you gone? What have you done? Your soul cry is velocitized into a hip-hop, fast-food, Adidas-sized nation, a pandemic obesity of your young. Your music is an altered state. Your songwriting a form of insanity, your piano... Once the solace of music is wrapped in the lonely blues obsession of your space notes, I can't shake your jazz from my head.
That's a fantastic piece. I really love that piece. You're listening to Paul Sanderson as a poet, writer, and his new book, The Golden Thumb and Acarema. And it's about 4 minutes to 11. We got a couple of more minutes left in the interview with Paul, and then we're going to play another selection from The Blue Room as an outro. And thank you all for listening. The obesity rates are insane down there. Oh, down, well, up here too. I mean,
yes.
But down there, I mean, I was a fat kid in the 60s, sort of. And I stuck out like a sore thumb. Now I'd fit in beautifully. So things have changed a lot. And it's very weird that we had, like you were saying, Easy Rider inspired you to go on the road and get out there. And that's not what's happening now.
No, not at all. You'd be hard pressed to find anyone hitchhiking because of the fear of their safety is really what it was.
That's true too. That's true.
No, it's not like that at all.
No,
not that it was safe even then. I mean, there is a certain danger of being on the road and traveling and hitchhiking and never know who you're going to come across, and there's all sorts of adventures you're going to get into for sure.
Paul, you said there were good things about the 60s. What were just a couple of the bad things?
I think in some ways it was self-indulgent. I think that it took itself too seriously. I think it was there were excesses indulged in, and in some ways I think there was naivety there too. What utopia? You know, where were you going with this? I mean, you can look at that decades later and with 2020 hindsight. When you're living through it, it looked like rose-colored glasses. It's kind of like I was reading a book, Paul McCartney's autobiography called Many Years From Now, and he said it's almost like it never happened. It was like the future, and we have to catch up, and we're still waiting for the future to happen.
Wow, that's a great way of putting it.
Yeah, so it stuck with me. I went, yeah, it's kind of right, because there's this blip here where we were all heading towards some type of utopia, whatever that is. I mean, and even that's vague. What does that mean? But if we had it, it slipped through our fingers.
Paul, thanks so much for being on Howl again.
Hey, a real pleasure, Nick.
Congratulations on the book Golden Thumb.
Thank you.
And Ekarima, that you can actually get through Paul's website. And, hey, we're going to wrap with a bit of The Blue Room, a track from that album. What's the title of the album, by the way, Paul?
Just this one is called Into the Night, and the track you're about to hear is called Don't Tell Me You Love Me. It's the acoustic side of the band, which we don't show very often, but I thought it'd be kind of a nice, mellow way to end the night.
I think that's an excellent idea. Thanks again, Paul. Thanks again, Barbara Camp, for being on our show.
Pleasure.
And here is The Blue Room, and thank you again. Stay tuned next week for Nancy Bullis's version of Howl.
Don't tell me you love me, then just turn away. Don't tell me you love me, then just walk away. Tell me you love me, I need you to stay. Don't give me that smile, then just turn away. Don't give me that look, then just walk away. Tell me you love me, I need you to stay. Tell me you love me once, tell me you love me twice. Don't turn away, walk out that door, your love is cold as ice. Don't give me that kiss,